Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are right in the middle of it, right in the middle of August. Well, yep. Not quite in the middle, the 4th.
The 4th. And by the time some people are hearing this, I'll be married 21 years.
No, when's your anniversary?
The 6th. So,
oh, my anniversary is on the 8th.
Oh, really? Well, happy anniversary. So I'll tell you what I did.
I'm like, you.
How can I find some kind of an email program that will pen my email and send it out on the day of, and I'll write the email now? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Google's got that feature now.
No, I didn't see that feature. That it was send later. So I had I downloaded something for Google for Gmail, and because I didn't see it otherwise, and so I wrote the email saying, "Hey, you know, just want to let you know, good morning. It's our anniversary." I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. Somehow I pushed. I think she's going to get it a day early. I think
making you look like a total schmuck.
So then I sent another one, and I don't know. I don't know of any way to retrieve it because I think it goes to their servers. It's called Boomerang, and then I think I sent another one that's going to arrive instead of 6 in the morning at 6:30 at night with the same information. So yeah. I'm stupid.
You're going to look very thoughtful.
Yeah. Let me just mention a tech issue here before we get into the business, because I recently, I think I told you I got my new iPhone because I, you know, got it wet. And all of a sudden my LG Bluetooth headphone that I've been using, I got a new one. It was fine before. It was nice and loud and I use it for exercising and things like that. It's really low. I can't get the volume to go. And I kind of looked up some threads on this, and everybody's complaining and bitching and moaning about how Bluetooth with the new iPhones are problematic in many different instances. So I tried to forget the device, turn it back on, get a new. I tried all sorts of things. If anybody knows of how to boost the volume on a Bluetooth device, that would be great. And maybe you have the same problem too. So you could send it over to me over at Twitter. At Andrew Horowitz, of course, the real Dvorak is John's Twitter handle as well. If you could tell us what's going on with that, I'd appreciate it. Or tell me what's going on. John doesn't want to know. So I did actually scope out some new headphones.
Oh, okay.
So I went into Best
Buy. You're wearing them now?
No. No, this is, I'm talking about for, these are, I got the Sony Studio headphones on now. But I'm talking about, you know, for my iPhone. So I listened to the Beats and I listened to the Bose and all of these, and I couldn't believe it. And maybe it was just the demo, but the Skullcandy Bluetooths are awesome. They're big, but they're great sound. So they were $99 at Best Buy, and I bought them on Amazon for $69.
I have a pair of Skullcandies. Somebody sent us some that were customized for the No Agenda show.
Did you listen to them or?
Yeah, I don't like headphones. The big giant cans.
Yeah, these
make
are big
your
ones.
Ears sweat. Yeah. They're terrible.
I know, but I'm sweating anyway when I'm running and exercising. I might as well.
Actually, I have a pair of rare. They're rare because I know you can't get anything like them. A Sony Electrostatics, which are very light and easy on the ears. And they have sound like you've never heard on any headphone, no matter what.
Is it over the ear? Is it on the ear?
What's over the ear? They look like cans, only they're not tight.
Oh, right. Cool. I still think the best is the on-ear Bose. You know those ones, those little ones? They go over the ears. So they're not like cups.
They go in the back and stick in.
No, not the ones that stick in. The ones that they're like the big cups, but smaller and just sit on your ear.
Oh, okay.
They're really soft.
Yeah.
Good sound. Anyway, let's talk about markets. There has been a definite breakdown in technology stocks. Twitter is the poster child for this. The price is the lowest since the IPO came out. The IPO came out at 26. I think it closed today at 29 and a quarter. And that's down about 50% since April. So I'm thinking that this guy, Dick Costolo, who was probably the reason why the stock stayed up with all of his shenanigans and his various conversations that were bewildering investors and promising the moon, probably not going to have a job in Silicon Valley ever again. Or maybe he will. Maybe somebody will want to.
Yeah, they always get jobs. That's never happens.
That's what happens?
No, it's just the way it is. I mean, the biggest flops in the world can get work.
Kind of like the CEO shuffle.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, but big cap names are also seeing trouble. And this is kind of interesting, I noticed. And I have to do a little bit more research on this. But it seems the big cap names that have been the ones that have been providing for big buybacks and dividend increases are the ones that no longer are being respected as they were.
Remember, like IBM?
Yeah, like IBM is a great example. Apple. Apple was down 3.5% today. Mm. I think it's down, I don't know, 15 or 18% from its high. Disney, as we say, shat the bed tonight. They came out with the earnings that beat. There was some concern about revenues missing and some outlook that was concerning. It was down almost like 6.5%. That's a lot for Disney.
Yeah, and that kind of goes against everything. I was watching Fast Money, which I still think is one of the most entertaining of the shows, the stock market shows. And there were all, everybody there was just jacking up Disney. Oh, Disney's got this. They got the big movie coming out. It's going to be all rosy for Disney, especially when the Star Wars comes out. And they just went on and on. It was like, wow, these guys are all jacked up about Disney.
They're always, you know, they think the two things they say is if a stock is up, hey, don't run out and buy it on Monday. That's one of the things they say when a stock is up a lot. Or they, when a stock is down, they're like, you know, this looks like a good entry point. That's like their lines. And Disney, one of them said, I think I was watching tonight, actually, when the earnings came out, and they said something like, the street will ignore. The street's just going to kind of ignore this, and it will probably just, you know, push it aside. You know, that's a real sign of you have to look at those kind of comments as either the data doesn't matter when you hear that, or the street's just going to ignore this, you know, bad quarter. They'll see it as a one-off. You know, you have to look at that as a sign of complacency. And that's never good with markets. Now, on the other hand, the companies that are not doing share buybacks in the big cap tech area, like Google, they just cleaned up their expenses. And I think they're being respected a lot more due to the fact that they didn't have to do any financial engineering to get their stock higher. And of course, let not us be forgotten to mention Netflix, which was up another like 7% today. I don't even know why it was up, but I have a story about it, but I don't think that's why it was up. It seems that in a post today, the chief talent officer, I always liked that title, the chief talent officer.
Yeah.
This is a person named Tony Kranz. I like that name too. Hey, how are you? What's your name? Tony Kranz. You know, it's kind of like a alternative to Tony maybe. Said the company has introduced an unlimited leave policy for new moms and dads, allowing them to take as much time as needed, here's the clincher, during the first year of a child's birth or adoption. So you adopt three kids. You adopt a kid. You take a year off paid, right? I guess it's paid, I assume.
Well, it doesn't say.
It doesn't say, but it kind of infers that, hey, you know, if they say, well, you can take an unlimited leave and we're not going to pay you, what's the difference? Just going to put
a
placeholder,
you see? Well, there's a big difference with some companies that won't let you take that time off without fire you.
Right, so if you get a three-month leave, but if you take any further time off, sorry, the job's no longer available. Which leads me to believe that Netflix has too many employees doing the same thing.
They're making too much money.
A lot of redundancy. Take off as much time as you need. So I'm going to adopt a child a year if they are paying me to do so. But if they're not paying me to do so, I guess it doesn't make. Well, wait, don't you keep your health insurance at least?
That would be a plus.
Yeah, so I'm gonna adopt a kid every year for the next few years and get my insurance paid. Anyway, here's another great story.
Take a job someplace else.
Yeah. Here's a great story. Remember the guy who, do you remember the story that the guy who, he came out and he said, you know what? I'm going to do something important. Forget this minimum wage crap. I'm making like $930,000 a year and I'm going to take a major pay cut and pay each of my employees $70,000 a year minimum. Remember that?
Yes, I do. I don't remember the backstory, but I remember that whole thing, and it was, oh.
Right. 120 workers at his credit card processing firm, Gravity Payments. Now, this guy's name is Price. He has admitted to the New York Times that since that happened, he has fallen on such hard times that he's been forced to rent out his home. He's working harder than ever. He's renting his house out. His decision, he said, his decision to boost salaries also cost him quite a few customers and two of his most valued employees who quit right after when newer and less skilled workers ended up with bigger salary hikes than those who spent more time with the company. He gave raises to people who have the least skills and are the least equipped to do the job, and the ones who are taking on the most didn't get much of a bump, said the financial manager. And some of the things that they asked some of the employees, like, well, you know, since you got this big raise from, let's say, $35,000 to $70,000, what are you doing differently? So one person said, well, I usually get coffee for everybody. Now I remember how many sugars they take. They, you know, that was something important.
Yeah, well, it is.
So a lot of people are really happy that this guy is going down in flames. Where it
well, he set up a, yeah, I would say that I could see that because the guy was made a big scene and it didn't work out. I mean, who does the guy think he is?
Well, don't you, wait a minute. He wasn't a good guy for doing this in the first place?
I think it was showboating.
Yeah.
Apparently I'm not sympathetic toward the guy's plight either.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine to pay people more money, but just to do some blanket thing like this seemed like pretty screwy. And yeah, I think the employee was right. He says, why does this $35,000 coffee getter get $70,000 and I'm already making $70,000, I get an extra $5,000?
Right.
Yeah, I could see it causing problems. Mm. He didn't think this out.
Yeah. In an interview with CNBC, I don't know if you heard of Laszlo Bernini.
No, I have never heard of this guy.
Laszlo Bernini, smart as a whip. Okay, no question about that. The problem when I have, when I listen to him, he sounds like Alvin the Chipmunk. You should listen to him talk.
Okay.
It's you know, you start like, you know, you, all of a sudden this really smart guy that's been running this firm that called it in 2009, start buying stocks and has been very bullish ever since, comes out and with, you know, I like to talk to you about this. You know, he maybe has a vocal problem. I shouldn't make fun.
But polyps.
Maybe. But his latest prediction is that by 2017, the S&P can hit 3,200 by simply just continuing the streak that it had for the last few years of 0.11% gains on average per day.
Hmm.
That's a rise of 50%. By 2017, he said, forget the noise about Greece and China and the economics. Forget all this stuff. This is one of the longest bull markets that we've seen in history that will continue. I thought it was kind of a bold statement.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe it or
not. It fits right into my cycles theory.
Your cycle's continuing?
No, it ends in 2017.
Oh, well, there you go.
Ideally.
Yeah.
Ideally, we have a crash in 2017. Could happen a year, a little bit before. Or maybe a little bit after. I mean, it has moved up a little bit, so it could be late 2016. But classically, 2017 should provide us, because it falls right on the cusp of all these things you could do. I can show them. I got to finish the book so I can have the math in there so people can look at it and say, eh. So, and you, if you have a big run-up like he's talking about, it's even better, because then you have an actual market crash, which, you know, we haven't really had. We had kind of these stumbles like the 2007 thing. It wasn't like the thing collapsed.
What, 2007? It wasn't like it collapsed?
No, not like it did in 29 or even 69.
There's a 40% drop in the S&P 500. That's not a collapse?
No.
Oh, okay.
I would say yes, it's a collapse, but not an epic proportions collapse.
Right. It's not a 75% kind of deal.
It's happened in Japan. What were the collapses that we've seen?
We've seen China. China collapsed back in 2007.
What was the number on that?
Yeah, it was probably 70%.
Yeah, there you go. That kind of thing is what I'm talking about. Yeah,
that's when it gets really ugly.
Oh, that's when the short. I mean, this is the time that you can short anything.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can short it, that's the kind of the drawback to the short thesis, as we discuss on the show commonly, is that you can't necessarily short what you'd love to short because you can't get any stock to short.
Right. I'll tell you a quick short story. So last week, Shake Shack, which is continually, we'll call it dark green, as I mentioned, where I can't get any short shares to trade.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it flashed a bright green.
Which means?
I can short it.
Oh, that's what your terminal has a code?
Yeah.
Oh.
So Schmucko went and said, finally it's available. Let me look at the numbers. I look at the numbers. Good place to short. I short it. It's down like 5%. I'm in great shape. I turn around. I'm like, what the hell? It's up like 4%. Then the next day, it's up like 3%. I said, you know what? That's enough. Done. I'm done with this for a little while. Let's just see how this plays out.
So you wasted your time.
Yeah. And then it was up another like 8%. I think I closed the position at like 60. It's at 70 right now.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it went from like 55 to 70.
Some of these.
Yeah, but that's games they're playing here. One of the things is they're not offering any options. There was supposed to be options coming out. The lockup expired. They kind of play games here.
Yeah, you got suckered.
Yeah, I got suckered. It happens. It happens.
Now, I was listening to Marketplace or one of these NPR shows that they have, and they had the CEO of Shake Shack.
Ah.
And so I'm listening to this guy, and he's going on and on about how they're going to – they're a short candidate because – from what I can tell, I don't know. I've never seen one of these places. I guess they're in New York. They're an extremely expensive hamburger with probably the quality of an In-N-Out burger at three times the price. That's my understanding from listening to this guy. They began as kind of a gourmet operation because they got some famous people that were involved in the startup. It would start off as a hot dog stand, some high-end hot dog stand in New York that had some big names behind it. And then they put the burger place out together, mm-hmm. and it was swamped with lines around the block. You know, it's one of these trendy things. And so he had his growth plan that he outlined, which was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of new shops all over the place. Really aggressive.
It's like a 30-year plan, though.
But it was lots of – it was like outrageous numbers of Shake Shacks. I just – from what I could tell – I don't see what's so special about this place except that they're overpriced.
Well, I'm going to be in New York in about 2 weeks for the weekend, and I will make it my business.
Yes.
To go into one of these places.
Yeah.
And I haven't eaten bread in a long time, but I will dig in just to see. So I'll let you
get
know.
A cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And they take notes on what it costs and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Probably have to wait in line.
Oh, gosh.
This is typical.
That's not good.
And you get your burger and whatever else you're going to order, French fries. I mean, come on.
I got to get a shake.
Yeah, you have to get a shake since it's the name of the place.
Yeah, I got to get the shack or the shake.
I'm sure the shake is delicious.
How bad can a strawberry or a chocolate shake be? So coming up on Friday, we have the big jobs report. We need an echo there. Expectations are for a 5.3% unemployment rate and about 225,000 people added to the payrolls, which would be just exactly what we've seen for the last however many months.
Yeah, it seems to be a little too consistent.
Very consistent. The ISM manufacturing, on the other hand, came in weak on Monday, 52.7 versus 54.1, which was the number that we saw. And that's consistent also that you're seeing a slowdown in manufacturing. It's a bit noisy, but slowdown in manufacturing, the service industry seems to be good. Retail sales are awful. Income, we saw a very weak number come out Friday on wage growth. Horribly, horrible number. Like one of the worst wage growth numbers since the 80s. Which you got to wonder, how the hell is that possible with all this jobs growth?
It's not.
Yeah, well, something's wrong. All these, I've gotten to a point that while I'll follow the economics, you have to turn yourself upside down and inside out to understand how the markets are going to react because of the influence of the Fed. Because everything, when you see a low wage number, which would be bad, and that would mean people aren't probably spending and they're not saving either, and there's no wage growth, that means that low inflation, which then translates into the fact that the Fed will stay at a course of more stimulus for longer, so therefore markets go up. Which means the dollar comes down, which means commodities should go up, which they didn't. So this is, and oil is what, 46 now?
Yeah, I'm looking at 45.85.
Yeah. So.
And I think it'll dip below 40.
That would be very bad.
I expect it's going to do the dipsy do here for a while, but when it gets down to 40, 41, 40.
Are we buyers?
No.
No. Not that common.
But I think it'll dip below. It might be a good short-term little thing, because if it dips below 40, I think everyone's going to freak out. Don't you think?
Yeah, no, I think. Then the shorts really come in, pound it down, and that's when you get that flush where you want to look to pick it up. But what about gas prices? How are gas prices by you?
There was some guy, they haven't changed, but there's somebody predicting that they're some website or something. I heard this on one of those shows, or I heard it on the radio. Somebody's predicting, although the guy's not a big name, but he's predicting gas prices will be $2 by Christmas.
Ah, it would be good, because they have not come down in the same pace that we saw oil come down this time. Usually they work relatively.
Oh, when it goes up, they do.
Of course. Even if it stays, steady, they go up.
Yeah. It goes up. Well, I didn't get it.
So, by the way, a lot of the things that we'll be talking about will have maybe some influence on some of the stock picks that we have each and every show. At the end of the show, of course, we go to the weekly stock picks with some ideas that we have. John and myself will come up with some ideas, some crazy, some interesting, some good. Some of the ones that you have to look at from the recent picks are quite unbelievable. I took a peek a moment ago. Pretty cool. We'll get to that in a minute. And of course, you could follow, I think I mentioned this earlier, but John C. Dvorak on Twitter at The Real Dvorak. Me, Andrew Horowitz, is just one big word. Now, I've been kvetching about drones, right? So I have my little things I kvetch about, right? So I'm banning the selfie stick. Now I'm like, these drone things, this whole ridiculousness of the drones, which some people have tried to explain to me how these things are really cool. I get it. I get you put it up in the air, you take some pictures and how cool it is. Mm-hmm. One or two, three, four, maybe a half a dozen times, it loses its luster from what I can probably tell. But now with these schmucks who take their drones over the fires and prevent the firefighters from putting out the fires, and these other guys, these brilliant fellas who decided that, hey, wouldn't it be cool to fly the drones in the path of an oncoming airline that's landing? What are they thinking?
I need to throw one of these guys in jail for 5 years.
Yeah. Now they'll come out with regulations, because, you know, you can't come out with regulations ahead of anything, because that would just be too logical. You have to wait for something to go bad. You have to wait for one of these drones to get sucked up into an engine and crash the plane before we come out with some kind of regulations. So I'm sure I've seen. Haven't you seen it on the news?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just the thing seems suspicious, these stories.
What is suspicious about a story of a guy? Well, let's go out into the airport.
I can't see somebody doing this.
Why not?
It's just crazy. It just seems like it's very irresponsible.
Well, okay. So when has that stopped any of these guys, from these doofuses, from doing something before?
Well, it just seems like there's a spate of these.
All right, moving along. What about the whole situation? I don't think we talked about this. Did we talk about the taxi medallions in New York?
Yes, we did.
Oh, all right. Oh, well, so much for that. Well, I did want to mention a company that I found that I thought was interesting, and too bad we didn't find this beforehand, but there could be some more pain for this. It's a company with the symbol, which is apropos, taxi, TAXI. Mm-hmm. And this company provides, it's a specialty finance company, and it provides acquiring and servicing loans that finance taxi cab medallions. So I'm thinking one of two things. Could this be a company that would benefit if Uber fails? Not that Uber's failing. Microsoft invested $100 million and now they're valued at $50 billion, even though there's all these problems with Uber around the country and around the world. On the other hand, if medallions went from, let's call it, 1 million to 500,000 in New York and Chicago, various places, what's going to happen with this finance company in that they may have all these bad loans on the books now? Because now this is like the housing crisis. So if you look at the stock has been dropping quite significantly. I'm not sure what would happen for this to go well, because if somebody wants out of their deal, they're going to have to do like a short sale on their taxi medallion.
What are you thinking? Is shorting it?
I don't know. It's down so low at this point. It seems that they're going to have a lot of problems. The question is, you know, if they did a lot of financing, since this company came out, they've probably been financing, and at whatever, even a reasonable interest rate, medallions in the I don't know, $700 to $1 million range, and unless medallions get back to those levels, who is going to want to, first of all, sell their medallion for such a loss? And if they do sell the medallion for such a loss, the person buying it's going to take a low loan. I mean, there's nothing good I could really see here, but I just thought it was really interesting, this company.
Hmm. What do you think Microsoft bought them for?
Microsoft just, I mean, they had excess cash, which is $100 million.
Seems like a waste of money.
Maybe they want to get their foothold in there for their ever-popular phone app.
Ah. Here's $100 million. Can you put your app on our phone?
Yeah, or maybe they want to say, like, they're going to put maybe the very popular Microsoft Watch on Uber drivers.
Yeah, well, all these things are possibilities for, seems like a waste of money.
Maybe they're doing it for some kind of advertisement of some sort, you know, put a Microsoft thing. Hey, by the way, we talk about so many things. I don't think we talked about this, but did I tell you about the most brilliant CAPTCHA ad I've ever seen?
Nope.
Oh, great. This wins whatever particular award that I would be giving out for advertising idea of the year and possibly the decade. Okay. You got to look at the attachment I did there. See the one that says CAPTCHA?
Mm-hmm.
So you know how you're on a website. Let me describe this here. About you're on a website and you want to submit something. And it says, okay, type in these letters, which you can't read. You know, it's impossible to read the VRJ272, whatever it is. You know, but you have to kind of, all right, so you kind of look at it and stare at it and look at it. It's kind of, you know, obscure. And, okay, so you put it in. Or they say something like, are you human? What is 3 plus 7? Right? Or you know, what is the opposite of a cat? And you got to type in dog. Those stupid things like that, right?
Yes.
So now this new CAPTCHA that I've been seeing has an ad in it, and you have to type. For example, the one we're looking is, it says, prove you're human to help fight spam. And instead of typing in numbers and letters, there's a slogan. This one's Dr. Pepper. There's nothing like a pepper. And you have to answer by typing in, there's nothing like a pepper.
Right. This is genius.
How great is this?
Not only that, but the irony of prove you're human to help fight spam. Yeah. The ad itself is spam.
There's a bunch of these, though. Like, I saw one that said,
whoever's behind this, we have to track down whoever's behind this. This guy needs to be recognized as some sort of genius.
Yeah, this is great. It was one I saw that said, I think it said something like, you have to type in 50% off sale at Nordstrom's. So, by the way, what that gets you doing is not only do you have to read it, okay, but you have to then type it so that ingrains it in your system.
Yeah. It's like brainwashing.
Yeah, I love this. There's a bunch of them. You got to look up like CAPTCHA ads and look at the, maybe do like a Google search for CAPTCHA ads or advertisements or advertisements in CAPTCHA and look at the images, a bunch of them you can find. And they're all like some long words you have to put in. I thought that was just the best. Okay, let's think. China. We have to bring up the whole China thing again because it's getting more and more ridiculous. Now China had a couple more days of down. They finally had an update yesterday, about 4 or 3.5% on the Shanghai. Shenzhen was up like 4%. They're continuing to manipulate markets with the most bizarre concepts. One is now they're not letting you buy back short sales, shorts. If you short a stock, you're not allowed to buy it back to a day later or something like that. So you have to have the overnight hold. You can't just do a quick trade. They've banned Citadel, major trading operation, from China altogether.
Why?
I don't know. I guess they maybe shorted some China shares or something. They're banning certain sales of stocks. Short sales have been held for a day. I told you that. Stocks are still halted. Maybe 30% of the market is still halted. Can't trade them. And a bunch of investment managers are now being banned. Not to mention they're going criminally after people who sell stocks. You can't sell stocks. It's against the law.
Wow.
The problem is that they were, just a couple months ago, slated to be included in the emerging market exchanges, right? And they had to meet certain criteria. And one of them is liquidity and access to foreign investors and things like that. They've totally blown their shot at this. because of what they're doing. Mm. Very, very bad. Very bad. Very, very bad. The coal stocks, we know that President Obama and a variety of other groups and countries around the world are doing their best to have clean air, right? And global warming, all these things that are going on. They have this whole process to pretty much get rid of coal as an energy source.
Yeah.
And they're using alternative energies, et cetera. Well, Alpha Natural Resources, which was once a major coal company, has filed for bankruptcy protection.
Well, there goes that idea.
Yep, gone. So there's a bunch of other companies, too. You should see the stock charts. They look just awful. So we are now, until we find that somehow maybe wind power or wind turbine energy is somehow cooling the earth, right, or something like that, hydroelectric is somehow killing the fish population, which will therefore,
that does happen,
make the plankton grow and the algae grow to a point that it chokes off the water and oxygen and kills all the water supply. I don't know. Till we find out the next thing that we're going to screw up, we've killed off the coal industry. So there you go.
Hmm.
John Stewart, you're a fan, right?
Yeah, well, I enjoy his show. I don't watch it so much except during election periods. It's always kind of this, it's become kind of beating the same drum. Mm.
Well, ending an era.
Yeah.
It's the final week.
I was talking to my wife about this. So I'm listening to an old Fresh Air on NPR, and it was an interview with John Stewart. And it was an interview with John Stewart in 2004. And I realized that he hasn't changed at all.
Is that good or bad?
Well, it can't be good. It sounds as if, I think he got stale. I think this show has made him stale, and he must have realized it. He had to quit to get, maybe do more movies. He enjoyed doing that movie he directed.
Mm.
So I think that's where he's going to go.
I thought it was kind of funny. He was good. He's good at when there's a lot of really good news out there. But right now, if you think about it, the news is kind of the same old, same old.
Yeah, and boring.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's see here. We got the capture thing done. I thought this was, this was an interesting story. I don't really quite understand it, so I'm hoping you can help me. It seems the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, approved the first 3D printed drug, which can be used to treat epilepsy. Aprecia Pharmaceuticals Company said Monday, by using 3D printing, the oral drug called Spiritam is made of porous material and is able to disintegrate quickly with water. Some epilepsy patients have difficulty swallowing traditional drugs, or caretakers have difficulty getting children to take medication. So the drug also carries a high drug load, so the patients may only have to take one pill. So what am I missing here? Does that mean that somehow you're at home and you could take the substance that you need to take, and if you need it, you push the button and it creates the pill which you need to take? So why not just take what it is? I don't get it. Or is the company going to be making this? I don't understand it. Why? What's with the 3D thing?
I don't know. I know the story, but I didn't pay any attention to looking up the details. But yeah, the company would be manufacturing the pills at their facility using 3D printers, because they could create a pill that, instead of being a solid gob that's stamped out, or a capsule with a bunch of little grains in it, it would be this a different structure, the pill itself. And so it would be, I don't know how it makes any sense, to be honest about it, because if it falls apart so quickly, which is what they kind of imply, you'd think that once you put it in your mouth, it would just fall apart in your mouth.
But don't they have things like that? If you're having a heart attack, you take a little, what is that called? A little pill that you put under your tongue.
Yeah, sublingual.
Yeah, you put a sublingual. That's like, boom, done, right?
Yeah.
Or if you're having epilepsy and you're swallowing, I guess the reason you'd have a problem if you're epileptic is because you're having some kind of episode.
I don't know anyone that's epileptic who has having a fit taking a pill during that process. It doesn't, I don't think that's it. This has some, I don't know what, I think it's a publicity stunt. Let me just cut to the chase.
So I don't know, by the way, if any companies that are involved in the 3D process, and you have things like 3D systems, DDD, Stratasys, SSYS, XO1, XONE, or Voxyjet, VJET. Have you seen the charts on any of these?
No, not recently.
They're pretty much going to zero.
Yeah, it's a very funny phenomenon. Because the potential for these things is outrageous. And they just, I don't know, I don't get that. I mean, maybe it's just a buying opportunity for long-term investors. But then again, when I went to an event where there's a bunch of 3D printers, and I was asking everybody, who's going to win this? You know, who's going to be around? And the 3D, double, triple D or whatever they are, that was usually mentioned. There's a couple of companies you never heard of that seem to have something on the ball. But you know it's going to be, you'd probably, I think the way to go if you is wait for these things to hit rock bottom and buy a little bit of each one. Because one of these companies is going to be the one that just buys all the other ones up and becomes big.
I have watched 3D. If you look at the stock chart, I've watched this thing go down. It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable how they're just continually bleeding. Now, I understand that Stratasys came out with the negative news with their earnings, and all of them did. But it seems to me to be a point a little bit overdone, I guess. But I don't know. Maybe, I don't know when the bottom is in, and right now we're in uncharted territory with these. So it's not like you say, well, there's support here at $11 on 3D systems, and it looks like a good buying opportunity, or $12. I mean, it was just $20 recently.
Yeah, it could be, you know, end up being a dollar. You don't know.
And what's fascinating is these things are doing this in a market that's very kind to companies that, even if they don't have great earnings.
It was as high as 92.
It's 1180 now. That's a rough move.
That's another short we missed.
Yeah. I think we had, yeah, we didn't have that on the short side. I think I had that on the long side once. It didn't work out too well.
It started going up in September 11th. I'm sorry, September of 2011. And it started moving really quickly. And then it took a huge spike straight up around October 2013, just like a rocket ship. And then it hit December 1st, 2013. It peaked with a close of 92.93, opening the day at 76, going up 20 points. And then from there, it just plummeted.
Yeah.
It was a strange, strange. And then it did have one little mini peak at 50. Then it just.
I'm still.
It's outrageous.
Very surprised that the technology has turned from hot to cold so fast. Because there was such promise for this thing. You know,
that hasn't changed.
I don't know what the problem is. Maybe once you buy, it's like a, I don't know what it's like. It's
like inkjet printers.
But inkjet printers, at least they had the game where you have to buy the, for a while.
Well, they do too. So 3D printers have that same game.
Well, so?
You have to buy all that crap that makes the you know, these wires. It's like plastic stuff that you have to feed the printer constantly. Hmm. So I think it's the same game altogether. I think it's almost identical. The printer itself is cheap, and then the supplies cost all the money. And so it's the same model, but I think it's just that it's not a mass market item.
Yeah. Well, not only that, it's more.
If you had one, what would you do with it?
I'd make a little plastic army man. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to make a fake gun? I mean, I don't know. That's why, like this, by the way, remember we talked about that company Etsy, talking about like hobbies and things like that, you know, making these little things. They came out with earnings tonight down 20%.
Every time you bring this up, and I don't know why I can't remember this, but every time you bring this up, and you've done it a few times, I just say to myself, I'm stunned that Etsy's a public company.
Yeah, right. That's true.
It's like, what?
SoulCycle is the next one coming live.
Which one?
SoulCycle.
I don't know anything about SoulCycle.
I think they have 85 shops, 85 stores, and it's a wholly different exercise concept where you get on a bike. Follow me here. You get on a bicycle. you know, a stationary bicycle with a group of people.
And it's like spinning.
Yeah, and you're spinning. And there's exactly what it is. And there's some kind of meditational aspect to this. And the people, the instructors are trained for months.
This was on Kimmy Schmidt.
I'm telling you.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. They did an episode about this. Tina Fey wrote. And it was hilarious. And it's exactly what you're describing.
They just placed $100 million placeholder for an IPO.
Wow.
Because they're going to be next to seemingly every Shake Shack, you know, right?
Yeah.
So
have fat burger and then get on the bike.
Hop on. Then they have some kind of weights and they have some kind of clothing line that they sell. And
what's the name of this again?
Soul Cycle. Yeah. And I guess the instructors are very trained at, I'm not sure what, but motivation-y stuff. You know, yeah, it's not like the instructor says, you know, hey, you fat ass, you get that thing. No, it's like, you can do it. You have it within you.
Yeah, that's exactly what the show is about.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I've never seen the show, but I'm just, from what I've read, it's all about, you know, the spirit of, you know, digging deep within and pulling out your best.
Now, you should watch this whole series. It's really? On Netflix. It's on Netflix.
Oh, gosh. I gotta
write it. It got nominated for Best Comedy and all kinds of Emmys just off of Netflix.
Oh, I got to watch that. Anyway, so they're coming out with an IPO. So this is another one. You know, I mean, it seems to be, I guess, season. The other IPO that's going to be coming out soon, which if you thought you've seen this before, well, it's going to happen again, is Neiman Marcus. They're coming back. They went private. Now they're coming back.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, wow.
As my wife calls them.
Wow, I said.
Needless markup.
Yeah, that's about right.
Have you ever bought anything from Neiman Marcus?
No, never. I've been to the stores, but I always look at the stuff and go, oh, this is really nice. And then you look at the price, you go, oh, my God, a white shirt for $110? I don't think so.
I bought a suit from there.
Wow.
Once. And it still is the suit.
So is it?
I forgot who made it. Ferragamo. I think it was a Ferragamo.
Yeah.
But this thing Ferragamo's fit.
Better known for shoes, but okay.
Maybe it wasn't Ferragamo. I think it was.
Armani?
Nah. Salvador Ferragamo. Maybe. It fit like a shoe. I don't know. It fit good. But anyway.
So it's your go-to ritzy suit?
This is just, it just fits. Just lays beautifully.
So it was worth it then.
Yeah, it lays beautifully. It just, and I, when I first put it on, I'm like, oh man, this thing is.
And the price?
It's like $2,200.
That's high.
Yeah, well, no kidding. But it was, I have one Rolex
and
one
nice suit. If it makes it look like $1 million is worth it.
Yeah, it's great. You put it on, it's like, wow, that's some suit. Couple things of note. Greek stock market is finally open again. Opened on Monday after 5 weeks of being closed.
Yes, I was wondering what you thought of the prices of the banks.
They're bad. I mean, National Bank of Greece is now at 70. Well, let's see where it finished. 80. It was down a bunch. It was down at 80 cents.
You think this is bottom? We should just go in, all in.
This is, I thought it was bottom a couple of times. We had a little bit, sold it, had a little bit, sold it. Made a little money on one trade, lost some money on the other trade. And it's like now it's the question of whether or not this is going to be a recapitalization. Because they still haven't gotten to the end of this whole deal yet.
Yeah.
So we're still wondering, okay, you guys said there was a framework with big quotes around it. And you said that there was some kind of deal that you were going to do. And you went against this guy and they're still fighting. You know, this Varoufakis is still out there tweeting his head off. I go and I, you know what they should do for Twitter? I have a good, if someone would come up with, this would be help Twitter immensely. A button that you could push to translate. How hard should that be?
It shouldn't be hard at all.
Right? Then you can have all people talking different languages. It's kind of like the Star Trek, you know, when they put on the...
The voice thing.
You know what I'm talking about? The universal translator.
Yes.
They would just stick something on their chest and all of a sudden everybody's starting to talk English. But what show am I watching? I'm watching a show now and it's like, why are they all speaking in English? That makes no sense at all. You know, it's clearly they're in a, Tyrant. Have you watched that show at all?
No, I have not.
So it's this show that's based in the Middle East somewhere in some, you know, fictitious country and all this, but they all have like kind of almost English accents, but like the main guy who is the emperor or the king or the ruler of the thing, his accent is slow speech, if there's such a thing. So he's like, I will look to my generals. It's like, is that your accent? Is that it? You know, it's like, that's all he does. With a big lisp and a big space between his two front teeth.
Huh.
And it's like, you know, that's you know, it's him because he's speaking very slowly. And then everybody else is speaking English, perfect English with a little bit of a English, you know, a British accent to make it sound like it's foreign. But anyway, the universal translator on Twitter guys, if you could do this, it would be great. Cause then when Varoufakis says something, I don't have to cut and paste to go to Google Translate and figure out what he's saying.
Well, if you use, Chrome and you click on his, feed, not, in other words, you're not on your feed, you're on just his stuff all by itself, Google Translate will kick in.
Right. But I'd like to do it on the mobile app, which is what the big rage is these days with all this social media, is the social app. The app should have it built in somehow, a translation device. How come they haven't thought of this yet? This is the problem with this company. Small things, little things.
That would be a great idea.
Yep. Okay, let's see here. Greek market. So we have the banks are being hit. The Greek market was down 22% at one point. It finished down, I think, 16% yesterday and down about 1.5% today. So not too terrible. I mean, terrible, but not too terrible. Could have been worse. Banks, you got Alpha Bank and National Bank of Greece are the two. But still, whether they recapitalize and then wipe out the shareholders, I wouldn't put it past them at this point.
Well, that makes it a risky investment.
Yeah, well, but it may work out. A couple of notes I just want to make aware of. I had a great guest on my podcast last week, a guy named Eric Fish, who wrote a book called China's Millennials, The Want Generation. I thought it was kind of a cool discussion about what the young people in China are looking for and how they get their information and get around the censorship and kind of the new mental outlook that they have for their life compared to past generations.
That would be interesting. I'll go check that out.
Yeah. And then next week I have famed investor Jim Rogers, you know, the guy with the bow tie.
Oh, yeah, Jim Rogers.
Bowtie guys same always old, fascinating. Same old. Yeah, but they always fascinate.
Yeah, he's always fascinating. He's always in, he's never, I don't, when's the last time he stepped foot in the United States?
I don't know. But he's big into agriculture, into farming, stuff like that. But the last picture I saw of him, he looked a little bit, let's say, he looked like he's enjoying life.
Isn't he, isn't he a perpetual bear?
I think he was, but he's a perpetual bull on like the Asian markets and on agriculture. Last time I talked to him was a few years ago, and he was big on the whole agriculture, like we're going back to an agrarian society. The world does not have enough food.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Which is maybe why he's stocking up, if you know what I'm saying. He wants to be ready for the hibernation. Any comments on Cecil the Lion?
No, we've figured that it's just part of the. As soon as it happened, it got all this publicity, which it normally wouldn't have done. It was just all about Donald Trump.
What do you mean it's all about Donald Trump?
Because Donald Trump has two kids who are big game hunters, and now I can make him look like a douchebag by association.
Ah, I see. We blow out the game hunters, and then somehow somebody kills his brother, Cecil's brother, make it look like there's a rampant disregard.
And that looks like a scam.
Yeah, rampant disregard for animals. And anybody that holds a rifle is bad and therefore translates back. That's not bad. You guys come up with some crazy shit.
It makes sense.
Yeah, no, of course. And finally, before we get to our stock picks, I just want to point out another little irritation. The word unicorn. Have you been seeing this? Oh, looking for the next unicorn investment. The new next unicorn investment team, looking for the next unicorn manager. Have you been seeing this? Would this word come up?
This word unicorn has been coming up all over the place now that you mention it. In fact, head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Dempsey, was giving a talk to some kids recently, and he ended up his presentation with the unicorn song.
Really?
And I'm not, now that you mention it, I am seeing this unicorn reference quite a bit.
And now it's outside of the parameters of investing, you're saying?
Yeah.
What's the point? What is it? What's the reference? What's the phallicness of it or whatever?
This is a good question. You're the one that just brought it up. I never put two and two together until you mentioned this.
This is a unicorn thing. Maybe the Dems or somebody's going to come out with a unicorn candidate or something.
Or maybe Hillary's growing a horn in the top of her head and they got to make an explanation.
I don't know. This whole unicorn thing about, you know, and I think the reference in investing is, you know, finding the magical potion, the thing that nobody can find that we think is out there, but this guy can do it. Like Twitter needs a unicorn CEO in that context.
I'm going to start paying more attention to this and figure out where we'll bring this up on No Agenda and figure it out.
All right, let me know. Give me credit on this, right?
Sure.
I mean, yeah, just, you know, so. All right, let's take a look at the stocks. So we're going to go over to the DH Unplugged Weekly Stock Picks, which is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a solicitation of any sort. It's not a recommendation. It's nothing. It's just fun. If you use by any way the stocks that we talk about, make sure to do a couple things. First, seek financial advice from a professional and make sure you do your own homework. Horowitz & Company, my clients, myself, John C. Dvorak, may own any of these names that are on here. And we will duly reference those if it is the case. And if you like the things that I talk about, hey, you know what? We manage money. You might as well get a quick advertisement in here. You can always go over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com and check it out. Why don't you go through the beautiful sea of green that we have in front of us.
A lot of stuff that's up 30%, 50%, 55% for Walgreens. We're getting to the point where it's possible, because we've thought about that, or I have at least, Netflix, which is, well, again, my pick into the throat of people wanting to short this stock. It's up 76.35%. This could be the first stock. Now, when a stock doubles, the problem with our game is that we have rules.
Yeah.
So the stock could go up like 30, 40, 50, 60% and then pull back.
Yeah.
Profit taking or whatever.
Yeah.
And if it pulls back like 6 points at 60, we're out automatically.
Well, 10%, 10% from the high.
Yeah, 10% pullback.
Right.
So what we're looking at here at 76.35% gain is a stock that has not hiccuped.
Right, exactly. You may have had a 2% here. You did. You had, because I made, I think, yes, you see that my short, it was down 8.53, meaning that I was up 1.5 at one point.
Yeah, and that could have killed me, but no. Thus far, so this is actually probably the best pick.
This is a good one.
Either one of us has made.
I think you had one that was like 100-something% at one point. You had some stock that was just blasting.
There was a couple of stocks that went up quickly, but the other good one here, which I think it's actually kind of impressive, but this is a penny stock down at the bottom. Real good solar went up. It's up 45%, but
in 2 weeks,
that's what I would call good. And then you have the best short on here.
Which ones?
Because we don't short as much during this sort of period. You actually have three shorts that were extremely. I have to admire these picks. You have shorted Bluebird Bio, and that.
No, that's you.
That's mine. I shorted that. So that doesn't count. Your three shorts are Shake Shack. You've gone 34% on the upside with the short. Yelp, you've shorted Yelp at 46. It's at 26. You've gone 43% on that. And Apple, which is risky, you shorted, and it is at 114 now. I thought that I'm very impressed with these, because this to me is hard.
Especially in this market. I'm kind of surprised at the depth of some of these shorts, you know, because in a market that hasn't really moved outside of a range of, you know, 4%, let's call it, these things. I mean, and that shows you, by the way, some of the disparity and the unevenness of this market condition that we're seeing, right? You're seeing stocks that, like a Netflix, that, by the way, has a ridiculous PE, that the earnings are good, don't get me wrong, and there's opportunity in the future, or at least somebody's seeing that, and the stock is up enormously. And you're seeing a Yelp, which, you know, yes, has some problems, and down enormously. You know, I mean, it's just crazy the ranges of these things.
Yeah, 43% you nailed on that one. Pretty astonishing.
Yeah. Oh, that's good to hear. Thank you. Well, I'll stroke your back on Seattle Genetics at up 24%. Of course, we mentioned the Real Good Solar, which is recent. The short of Bluebird Bio up 5%. Mondelez up 23%. TransDigm up 35%. And there's something else here that was... Oh, JetBlue. Well, that was mine. JetBlue, the long, up 21%.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good call. Yeah, that was yours.
By the way, you should be glad, I think, that you're out of Glu Mobile because it came out with earnings tonight. I think it was down another 10% from somewhere. It's down even lower. In other words, we closed this out and stopped this out, but it was
even lower. This is the drawback to, well, you don't know what's going on with these insiders. I believe that was an insider thing. Yep. Where am I? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think so. Well, why else would I pick it?
Yep.
And that was a blunder.
So I got a couple of picks coming up.
I got one.
You want to talk about yours first?
No, I want to hear what you got to say.
All right. So earnings season is, we got just a big batch of earnings this week. There's a lot of smaller names. A lot of the big names have already reported. And one of the names that's coming out, which was a great performer for our portfolios for a while. Then we closed it, fortunately, and it went right down the tubes, which is good. And a company that I have a love-hate relationship with is coming out with their earnings. And I think that pretty much every possible, well, maybe not every, but many of the positive negatives that have been thought about their product line, what's going to be happening, their slow launch of some of it, may be already priced in. So that's Keurig Green Mountain.
Yes.
I'm not thrilled about this, but earnings are coming out and you might as well play to the upside with the fact that it's been so devastated. So that's one. As I mentioned before, I think that they have what's it called? What's their new product? The cold. Oh, is it cold? Is it called the cold? K-O-L-D? I think it's called the what? K-O-L-D.
What?
It's their cold product device that they have coming out.
That Keurig?
Yeah, Keurig has the cold.
I don't know why anyone buys any of those things.
I think I drink the McDonald's coffee in the morning from the Keurig, which is tolerable. It's not. I'm not saying it's
Hold
like.
Hold on a second.
Yes, what?
Yeah. You have a Keurig?
My wife has one.
After all this moaning and groaning all these years?
She got it one day. She says, I want it. I'm like, okay. She got it. And
so now, okay, well, let's take this to the next level.
Yes.
You get a Keurig.
Yeah.
And then you make McDonald's coffee in it.
It's the only thing I could tolerate in that machine. The rest of them are awful. McDonald's is bad to begin with. It doesn't make it any worse. The only thing that's worse than that is
outrageous.
Horrible Dunkin' Donut coffee, which gets really bad. But I use the medium button, so I get at least not all that water in there. But I've tried the Starbucks. I've tried a few others. The Newman's, terrible. Their own coffee brand, they're awful. They all have like a it's been brewed hours ago taste.
So you are recommending – now I'm curious. I'd have to try it. I mean, I don't like Keurig stuff to begin with. I just don't think it's a – appropriate way to make coffee.
It's and not
always seems blandish and kind of it doesn't feel like coffee. But you're saying that the McDonald's, I didn't even know they made one of these cup things. Mm-hmm. McDonald's. Where do you buy them?
You can buy them I think at Walmart. You can buy them at
you can go to Walmart and buy those little things.
Yeah, probably your grocery.
McDonald's on them.
Yeah, it's McCafe, I think it says.
McCafe.
And I get the dark one. And then I put it on the one of the lower settings for less water from the Keurig. Yep. So we'll see what happens.
And you believe that's tolerable. You can actually choke that down.
That's about it. Tolerable. A little bit of sweetener, maybe a little bit of milk if you have to, but it's tolerable.
Huh.
And the other pick is due to the fact that it's a, you know, it's still a kind of a semi-love stock. It's been beaten to hell. We had this on the short list for some time, made a lot of money on it, but I'm going to go long on it only because as a trade, the potential is for a lot of these up. Oh, it's a buyout candidate. You know, there's a CEO going to come in hitting towards the bottom. So we're going to buy Twitter, go long. Any news could boost the stock at this point. Just sitting on that level of disaster here, down back to the 26th level of the IPO. So 29.34 is where it closed. I think it broke 29 last, maybe Monday. It broke 29. It was down to 28 something. But there, there's going to be some incremental news that comes out. Maybe the news that they have a new translation device. I don't know. But something's going to come out because that's the way things go. And there's going to be a massive short squeeze in the stock. May only be 5 or 10%. Maybe, you know, 15%. But I'm willing to take it for the ride.
Well, it might not last as long as you'd hope.
Yeah, possibly. What do you got? What stock do you got?
The symbol is AMRS. A little company over here in Emeryville called Amaris or Amaris.
Amaris. Oh. Like I'm you know, is Amaris towards her? Isn't it?
It's a biotech specialty company that makes some weird stuff. And I'm only buying it because of the hundreds of millions of dollars people are picking it up at this low price. One insider in particular just bought $14 million worth at $1.56. It did go up a little bit. I need a 15% on this.
Uh-huh.
Got it. Because it's a penny stock.
Right.
At this rate. The people that are buying this are directors, led by John Doerr. Now, John Doerr is a famous, venture capitalist.
Is it the same guy?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And he's, been dumping everything that he has. And this looks like his portfolio. If you look at his insider trades, he's been selling Google to the tune of $4 million every, $4 million every week or two, $10 million, $14 million, just dumping Google like crazy. And he's not buying anything except this.
Ah. Dumping Google, buying this.
Yeah. In fact, he bought some of this back in March. He bought it at $3 a share. So there's a problem I have with him is that he's not showing me you know, the insiders that you want to find are the guys who, like, they buy something at one and then they sell it at 10. And they, or they buy something at one, then they buy it at two on its way up to keep buying it. And then they sell it all at 10. Not guys who buy it at three and then buy it again at one.
Right.
Because this is like, okay, you're insider. You should know what you're doing here. Why did it go down so much after you bought it at three? But in this case, because there's a bunch of others, there's a couple other guys buying it too. And some investment group is buying it. I'm assuming that there's something up.
And with all these biotechs, there's been quite the run on some of these names. Although the one I picked last week is not doing well. And by the way, that just goes to show you, you know, if you listen back to last week's episode of why I bought that, not everything is as it appears
as
sometimes.
It seems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like a couple things about the company. I don't like the executives getting paid as much as they get. For a little company like this, but they make some crazy things. I was reading. It's like, it's not what you know, when you read about this company, they provide various alternatives to a range of petroleum sourced products for the consumer care. In other words, this is alternatives to petroleum sourced products. So it's like, you know, it's greeny, it's a little greeny, and Doerr's been into that. The company applies its industrial synthetic biology platform to design microbes and primarily yeast as well to convert plant-sourced sugars into renewable hydrocarbons. And it sells this product called Biofine that converts to squalene, which is used as an emollient in cosmetics and other personal care products.
Hmm.
I get the sense that there's something afoot with these guys.
So it's not, they're not really biotech, but they're using biotechnology and green biotechnology to replace the petroleum products that are used in many of these products, in many of these different things, which you got to wonder with this, how cheap petroleum is these days.
Well, it may be that these are not just because of the cheapness, but because they're better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm reminded of synthetic oil for automobiles,
right?
Which is a chemical. Polyalpha olefin, it's one of them, PAO, and olefin, I think it's polyalpha olefin, and then there's another one that's even better that's got some other chemical name, and they're used instead of the product from an oil refinery.
Mm.
and they work better.
Right.
And they're expensive. They're not cheaper. They're synthetic oil is probably twice as expensive, if not three times as expensive, as regular high quality motor oil.
And it lasts longer.
Oh, it lasts forever.
Yeah. Doesn't break down.
I mean, it doesn't break down ever. And you can go 15,000 miles between oil changes without even worrying about it.
But the problem is the disposal of it.
Well, I don't know what's their problem. You just mix it with the other stuff and throw it in the bay.
Just yeah, I guess that solves that problem.
I think they can. It goes to re-refiners, and it's simpatico with regular motor oil. It's not like the two can't coexist.
Right.
So, I don't know. Anyway, it looks like I see all this action, so I figure, well, let's put this in the pot.
Mm. All right. Well, we'll add it.
Okay.
Any others?
No, that's it. That's all I got.
All right. We're running a little bit over, but I thought it was a pretty good show. Pretty good show. I'll have to watch that episode of Soul Cycle. And we're going to be watching for unicorns. If you see any, let us know because...
Something's up.
Something's up. Let us know what you see, how it's referenced, and get it over to us so we can track this and we'll stop this nonsense once and for all.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. See you next week.
Adios. Right,
you've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.